Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, Making the Most of Time in 2025.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be yours today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So last week we talked about how to start the year 2025 fresh in Jesus. And we talked about a right attitude towards, remember, our past, our present, and our future. We looked at how, with respect to the past, we just need to forgive, let go. It's in the past, be free of it. As for our present, we're to live in it daily with God. And then as for our future, we should have a joyful expectancy and hope because of God's promises. Today, I'd like to look with you at now how to go through and into 2025 with a right attitude in terms of making the most of the time, as Paul says, because the days are evil. To go into this year with great purpose and drive and zeal and laser focus on accomplishing great things for Christ and not just, you know, drifting through this year. What is your purpose? How are you running into the year already? Is it like an arrow like this? Wish I had a bow up here. I could really scare you and wake you up, but are you like an arrow notched on the bowstring of God, fired into 2025 on a great mission to accomplish great things for Christ, for your master? Or are you kind of more like a feather here that just sort of drifts down through the years, kind of lazy, not focused, carried about by the winds of chance this way and that, and not driven with great energy, zeal, purpose, and enthusiasm for the great mission? Let's talk today about being an arrow and not a feather through this year, because obviously God's purpose for us, His will for you and me, is to be an arrow shot from His bowstring in a 2025 to accomplish great things for Christ's kingdom and its advancement in this world till He comes again. Now, how can we be encouraged in that? Well, you know, Jesus actually told us a parable, basically to be arrows and not feathers, to be driven with purpose and not lazy. Which parable am I talking about? It's the parable of the talents. Now, we read the one from Luke 19. I'm not going to refer to that one today because he told it twice. I'm going to look at the one from Matthew chapter 25. And both parables are basically the same with the same message, but this one has some other specific details I'd like to share with you. So that we might be encouraged to be arrows and not just feathers carried about by the winds of chance this year and not really going anywhere. Let's take a look at Matthew 25, see what we can learn about the parable of the talents, Matthew 25. Let's start with the context. Verse 13, the verse right before it, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." What's he talking about? His coming, His return on the last day as King. Remember, He came the first time to save us from our sins at the cross. He's coming the second time on the clouds of heaven as judge, to judge and call all to account before Him, and then to give His kingdom to the righteous, to the saints. So that's the context. And what He's going to tell us in this parable then is what that coming is going to be like and about the time between His departure to heaven and His return, what we should be doing. What should be your attitude? Should we be arrows or should we be feathers with respect to what we do before He comes on the last day? So let's read the parable. Verse 14, we'll do to 15 to start out. Or so. "For it will be as when a man, going on a journey, called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away." So, for it will be as when a man is going on a journey. What is the it? The it is, this is what my coming is going to be like, and this is what I want you to do in the meantime. And this is what I'm going to give to you is property. So who's the man here that's going away on a journey? Jesus, right? He came, he died for us, he rose, he went away into heaven. So he's kind of, in a sense, absent right now. And he's returning on the last day as king. And when he goes away, before he goes away, he says, I'm going to entrust to my servants. Who are the servants? Christians, right? To those who profess the name of Christ. I'm going to entrust to you some of my property, and you are to trade with these until I come back. Now, where did Jesus go? He's in heaven. And what are the things of property that he's entrusted to us, would you say? Talents, right? That's the word here, which is just really a form of money. So he gave them cash. Here's some of my cash. Go and trade. See what you can do before I come back. Try to make a profit for me to give me when I return as king, or when I return as your master. So what are the talents that God's given to you and me? Well, the word of the Lord. Yeah. Go and trade with my word. Share my word. Read it yourself. Grow and share it with other people. The gospel, go evangelize and preach it to the world. See how many people you can save. Pray for your neighbors. See how many they can come to Christ. Do good deeds. See how many people you can bless and give honor to the glory of my Father. And basically, just live out your vocation. Whatever your job is, do it by faith as if you're serving me. I'll count that also as worthy service. So whatever I give you, and there's so many types of talents and so many types of things God's given to you, use them, Jesus says. Trade with these until I come. And he wants us to go into this with great purpose and zeal. He wants us to go into it with the attitude of, yeah, let's go get them. And like an arrow to be launched into the service of getting something to return to the Lord. So, you know, a lot of times as Lutherans, we want to focus on what God's done for us. That's certainly the number one thing we preach. But let's remember, God also calls us to great things, to do something with what he's given to us. And he gave to each of them according to his ability. So to one guy, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another, he gave 1. To do what with it? To build up the kingdom of God. He's looking for his servants to make a return to him, to trade that he, the king, or the master, might get a profit by the preaching, by the evangelism, by the prayers, by your words, by your good deeds, by your just serving God in your vocation. Whatever you can do to build up the glory of God, the kingdom of Christ amongst your fellow men. So you have a job. We have a responsibility. We have a charge, a commission, and a mission. And so Jesus basically says to us here, see what you can do, see what you can make before I come back. So let me ask you, what talents do you have today? Are you using them for the Lord? Are you an arrow shot into this year, or are you a feather, just sort of planning to drift through, have some fun and see what happens? Well, we can have some fun, but let's not be a feather, let's be an arrow. What did these guys do in this parable? Let's read next, verse 16. How'd it go? He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. Do you like that one? Give me a little clap. Is that a good one? All right, nice job, number one. You got 5, and you made 5 more, and you traded at once. Great job. Sounds good so far. Then you have the second guy, and that had the 2. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. What do you say? Good job. All right. I like that one. And then, of course, the last one here we see, verse 18. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Little problem there, eh? That doesn't sound so good. What? You hid your master's money? He wants a return. You're going to do nothing with it? You're going to be a lazy bones? You're going to be a feather and just live for the pleasures of the world? You're not going to invest? What are you doing? Well, Jesus is telling this parable here because he wants us to trade. He's showing us what a Christian, a real Christian, should look like. So let's go back to the first guy. He had 5 talents, right? He was given them according to his ability. Now, those talents, remember, every talent we have is grace. It's the King Jesus' property. It's not like it's not like your property, it's property entrusted to you. And when we return it to him, it's still going to be his property, whatever we make off of it. So this is all grace, but he gifts and entrusts us certain property. All right, so he gave this guy, according to his ability, he got 5 talents. That's cool. He got more than the others, according to his ability. And what did he do with them? We read here, and this is why I chose Matthew 25 for us today, because he says, he went at once and traded with them. Can you say those words with me? At once. What does that tell you? Do you hear in that enthusiasm, drive, energy, zeal, purpose, mission? Like, yeah, I got 5 talents. I only got so much time. I don't know when the master's coming. Let's go. And he went at once to the market and quickly traded and did whatever he could. Now, he made 5 talents more. That's cool. But you know, too, he didn't make 5 talents immediately. He immediately got to work, but it took a while. He eventually gets, through his hard work, perseverance, and attentiveness as an arrow, he gets 5 talents more. So, but I want you to hear the immediacy, the energy, the heart, the attitude that God wants in the heart of the Christians, which is why he's teaching this parable. Look, it says he went at once, which the word in the Greek is euthus, which means he went straight away. He went instantly, immediately, without delay, quickly, at once, with great drive, zeal, and energy. And he went and traded with him to do as much as he could at once. I mean, it sounds like, what was that? Schultz from Hogan's Heroes? At once! Well, that's how he had an attitude. At once! That's excitement. That's urgency. Do you have excitement? Do you have urgency? Because we only have a little bit of time, friends, before the king comes back to trade. Are you running into it like an arrow? Let's be honest. We all have the temptation instead to be feathers. True? I mean, the world around us, they're just a bunch of feathers. In fact, check this out. You want to see what the world looks like? This is what the world looks like that we're living in. Ready? They're not going anywhere. They're enjoying the world. They're just having fun. In fact, most people you interview, whether they're going after money, title, lands, riches, travel, adventure, whatever it is, in a word, the world goes after fun. Whatever feels good and gives them some joy. You can enjoy your life too, but that's not our mission. Launched from the bowstring of God, an arrow, that's what you're called to do. That's what I'm called to do. We're tempted to be feathers because it's our old nature. It's the world we're living in. Everybody else is doing it. But God says, you're different. You're come from my quiver. You're on my bowstring. You're launched into the world. I sent you on a mission. Go for it. We've got to take this mission to heart today because we all forget it. I forget it. We're all kind of lazy. We're part feather, part arrow. Let's be more arrows today because he's saying, look, you only have so much time. 1 Peter 4. Peter says, as each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Paul in Romans 12 says, as we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let's use them. In other words, trade, man, trade. Paul says, if I'm on earth and not in heaven, that's just fruitful labor for me. I'm out there to earn some wages and get a reward and bless people. Use your time wisely. And we notice this first guy, 5 talents, he made 5 talents more. With that arrow mentality and drive, with the Lord's blessing, he turned a pretty penny, didn't he? He made a sizable profit for his master, so that at his return he could say, look, this is how much I love you, Lord. I'm so happy. Here, look, check it out. 5 more. That's a lot. That's 100% gain. Whew, good job there, number one. How about number two? Servant number two, how'd he do? Well, we read, so also, Jesus says, he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. Do you like this guy? Look, there's no difference between him and number one because the first guy had 5, he made 5. The second had 2, he made 2. They both made 100% gain. They both went at once and like an arrow with whatever talents they had, varying different talents, but they each made 100% profit. I think Jesus is going to like that one. Look, he went quick to the market. Fast he invested. Hard he worked. And that's, he made 2 more. And that's what Jesus is looking for in us. That kind of a heart of an arrow to race and run at his charge. to do what His Word has commanded us to do, and to get a return to Him for when He comes back on the last day, when we give an account to Him of how we have lived and used the property entrusted to us. All right, you feeling good? Now, I know we all fail at this, but this is to encourage us to be arrows. Okay, how about number three? Number three, will you step forward also? Let's see, how did you do? Well, we read, he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Actually, this is just what he did. This is before his judgment. Does that sound like a good plan? You're entrusted property. The king is coming. The rich man's going to return. He's going to expect something. And what do? You hide it. You're just basically then being a feather. I'm going to live for the pleasures, the cares of this life like everybody else. I like adventure. I like fun. And you can do some of those things, but that's not the mission. The first two were arrows. Hi, guys. The last one was a feather. Let's call him a lightweight. Let's call him a lazy bones. Let's call him a drifter. Let's call him the slothful servant. He did nothing with what was given to him, but he hid it. And so he was not after making any profit. And let's note something here. This guy claimed to be a Christian. He's one of the Lord's servants, right? And he claimed to be a Christian, yet was he going to be able to show his love for his master? That he believed his word? That he took his call to heart? We don't see it here. This is a man who is professing Christ, yet who, according to Luke 21, is the one who has a heart weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And that day will come upon him suddenly like a snare, Jesus says, for it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. And as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, and there will be no escape. Woo! We're going to all be summoned and called to account before the king at his return. I don't think it's going to go so well for this guy who shirked his duties, did not take heed or act according to his master's will. And if that were you, and I don't believe it is or will be, but if it were you, what will you do when that day comes to stand before the king? So let's get to that. Verse 19. Okay, going on. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. What is this talking about? Return, last day, the king, Jesus returns. He's going to come back, friends, and he's going to look for, what did you do? This is judgment. He's coming back for judgment and to give the kingdom to the saints and to judge every man for what he has done. Okay, what do you note here about the judgment day, by the way? After a long time, Jesus, we started this parable saying he can come at any time. We need to be ready at any moment. You know, he can come fast right now, today. Or it could be a long time, and we've already had 2,000 years. I'd say the long time is pretty much up. But, you know, that's a very gracious thing, to give his servants a lot of time, even more than they expected, to trade with, to see what they could use. Are you using and taking up this opportunity? Mark carefully, he comes to settle accounts, and he's going to settle account with each one of us. Revelation 22, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he's done. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we make it our aim, oh, there it is, the aim to please him, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. Saved by faith through by grace through faith, judged, though, according to our works. Our works shall be judged. So let's see how it goes. Verse 20. Well, he who had received the five talents came forward. That sounds like he was summoned, right? Step forward there, number one. And he stood before his master, and he came bringing five talents more, Jesus says, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I've made five more. Now, if your Bible doesn't have an exclamation mark there, it probably doesn't, I'd say put one in. Doesn't that sound like he's excited? Look, five more. Isn't this great? Yeah, I'm so excited. Don't miss the happiness and the enthusiasm of being an arrow. It's an awesome job. It's fun. It's hard, but it's full of enthusiasm. And he comes back with a great return. Wahoo! Look, here, it's yours. Does Jesus share that enthusiasm and joy? Well, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Doesn't that sound great? He's not like, "All right, enter in the joy of your master." I mean, this Jesus is 1,000% excited, joyful, energetic to see that you took my word and diligently kept it, and you've returned this to me from what I gave you for my kingdom at my return. Wow, look what I'm going to do to you. He says, "You have been faithful over a little. Watch, see, I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." To set you over much means you're going to get rewards for everything you've done here, for work for the Lord, deeds for the king. But also, enter the joy of your master means you're going to enter the kingdom and enjoy it forever, the gift of my kingdom to you. So there's joy in the arrow. There's joy in the arrow shooter, Jesus. Joy all around. And again, it's all by grace. He gives us the talents. The talents that go back to him are his. But then he rewards us so super richly. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, if you even give a cup of cold water to another because he bears the name of Christ, you'll by no means lose your reward." Are you going to take that to heart into 2025? Running in there to do everything you can, you can lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, Jesus says. Love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward shall be great, Jesus says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And what's the reward like? You made 5 pounds for me after the 5 I gave you. What am I going to give you? 5 more pounds? Is that what he wants to do? Know this, that whatever you do in the time you have as an arrow, in the time allotted before the king returns, will be rewarded to you so super over the top, abundantly, extravagantly, beyond your wildest imaginations as to be beyond all comparison. It's as if, a young kid comes up and says, and I say, "Here, trade with these $5 till I come." And you come back and you give me $5 more, and I say, "Oh, hey, that's great, great job. How about this? I give you, let's say, England." That's what he's doing here, friends. So let that inspire you to be an arrow. The reward is great, and Jesus tells us to go for it. He also, who had received the 2 talents, came forward next. "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and here I have 2 talents more." His master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Once again, the same as the first guy, 100% return. So notice, it's not whether you have a lot of gifts or someone else has more gifts than you and he's going to get better. It's what you do with what God gave you individually he's going to be looking for. And he's going to do the same. Give him great rewards and the kingdom. Then the third one, "Step forward, please. What have you for me? What did you gain by trading?" Jesus says in verse 24, "He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping what you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. Let's get out the feather here. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.'" Does that sound like a good answer to you? Do you want to have to say that to the Lord on the last day? This man was not an arrow, he was a feather. He had no drive, no zeal, no wishing to turn a profit for his king and his master, but his motto would be, "Let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Like the world, I'll go after all things fun and pleasurable. Vanity fair, I'll take a little from here, a little from there. I'll be a drifter, I won't be on a direct mission. I'll be lightweight, I'll be a feather. I'll have fun in the world. What it's after, you only go around once. With no heart for the mission, what fearful rendering and accounts will he give on that day to the king who is seeking a return on his investment with you? Well, it would be a fearful reckoning indeed," says the king, says Jesus here, because he not only had no return, he was not only lazy, but he blames the king for his own laziness. "It's your fault I did nothing, because you're a hard man." Whew. You're going to talk to the king like that? The master? Well, his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I've not winnowed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who has not, even what he has will be taken away." What's the judgment on this guy? Living for himself and not the Lord. Though claiming to be a Christian, he will find only a stern judge on that day, the wrath of the king. For the king will say, "Could you not have at least put my money in the bank? You wouldn't even have had to do anything or even work hard at it. Couldn't you do at least as little as that? But now you're going to add insult to injury, insult me, and charge me with injustice? I take the money from you. What you could have gained with trading has now become bunk. You are bankrupt at your end, and eternal fire and hell will be your reward." That's actually what he says here. For he says, "And cast the wicked, the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth." Whoa. That means he's not going to inherit the kingdom. The man who was a feather and not an arrow. See, the first two, though, this is our encouragement. They're arrows. That's what you are. That's what God wants to make more of you today. They are going to have riches beyond their wildest imaginations for the work done. And today is the day, 2025, to lay up those treasures. Let's be zero laser focused on that mission with drive and zeal and energy, for the reward is, and you will enter into the joy of your master, which means the kingdom, and you're going to have superlative rewards for everything done. And the new heavens, the new earth will be your prize with eternal rewards. Peace, resurrection, life, rest from your labors, and even what the other guy had, it will be given to you. For Proverbs 13 says, "The sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous." God will take what was his, which he didn't use, and give it to you, even that you didn't work for. And then a crown for faithful warriors who sought their king's best in their time they had, they will have the best. "I have fought the good fight," says Paul. "Finished the race, kept the faith, and now there's laid up for me that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all of who have loved his appearing." So, in conclusion, what are you going to be today? Are you going to be a feather or an arrow? You know what? We're all, let's admit it, between feather and arrow. We're a little bit of each. But Jesus is encouraging us today, be the arrow. Let's recenter with zeal for the king's best return on his investment, and it will be the best for you. "How great will be your reward, O arrows! For we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from our works or deeds." But the next line is, "We were saved that way for good works and deeds which God's prepared for us to walk in." So let's not only walk into 2025, let's run into 2025, shot from the bowstring of God on the arrow mission to build up his kingdom in our hearts and in those about us. Let's press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Making the Most of Time in 2025. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services at Christ Lutheran Cape Canaveral are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.